That's 1-888-24 Liberty or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line from Great Britain, Mr. Edward Spalton. Mr. Spalton, are you there?
Yes, I am, Dr. Stan. It's nice to talk to you again.
Well, it's good to have you with us. Now, are you living in England, or are you over on the continent?
No, I'm living in England, just about in the middle.
All right, fine. But of course, you certainly deal with the English Parliament, but the European Parliament?
Yes. In 1999, I stood as a candidate for the United Kingdom Independence Party to that Parliament. I since left that party, and I'm now campaigning on a cross-party campaign to try to alter the opinions of British politicians, both from the right and the left.
Well, I think that's certainly a very important thing to do, because until people understand what is happening, why, nothing is going to change. Now, why don't you give us a little of your background, and of course, what you see happening as far as the loss of British sovereignty as this program progresses to merge Great Britain into the European Union.
Yes, it's not only to merge Great Britain into the European Union, but to split it up into different regions. We already now have a Scottish Parliament and a Welsh Assembly, and England itself has been divided up into regions. Nobody wants this. In the northeast, where the government thought they would have the highest possible support for it, they organized a referendum to make these regional authorities elected. At the moment, they're totally appointed, and it was rejected by 4-1. But nonetheless, they still have the regional assembly there, appointed in effect by the government, and they still have a regional budget, and they're still trying to break up the country. And these regional authorities have their own sort of mini embassies in Brussels, where the European community has its headquarters.
And of course, they're trying to do the same thing with the police force, aren't they? To regionalize the police force and take them away from local control?
That's quite correct. This is being rushed through. They've had one day of debate in Parliament on it, and it's being pushed through on the pretext that we've got to have bigger police forces to be effective against terrorism, money laundering, drugs, and all this sort of thing. But and they've done it with the fire brigade as well. Okay. So that's been made a regional responsibility. And the idea is, I suppose, that eventually, with so many things going up to a regional level, that people will accept this, and that eventually the idea is that in this area we should be happy East Midlanders and Europeans rather than British.
And of course there is at least some people there who are a little unhappy about losing British sovereignty, aren't they?
Yes, indeed. I mentioned the UK Independence Party, which I belong to for several years, and there are many other groups, both on the right and on the left. That we're now getting to the stage where there is really good cooperation. I belong to an organization called the Campaign for an Independent Britain, which has been going many, many years.
Well, hold that thought right there. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Mr. Edward Spalton from Great Britain. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our guest today is Mr. Edward Spalton from Great Britain, and we're talking to him today, and he has been involved with the political process over there, first of all with the Independence Party, and now with another group, trying to get the people of Great Britain to understand that there is an organized effort to destroy the sovereignty of Great Britain. Now, the thing is that the people don't want that, and any time it comes up to a vote, it is always repudiated. But you see, the other people, oh, these people are so concerned about making a better world. They talk about democracy, but they don't believe in the will of the people. They believe in the will of the elite who rule both political parties in Great Britain, the elite who rule both political parties throughout most of Europe and here in the United States. They have a different dream because they march to a different drumbeat. They have a different trumpet call. And I believe they worship a different God. And their objective is a new world order, a new world religion. And Mr. Spalton was saying how they already are doing everything in Great Britain to do away with the control and the power of their parliament, just as today even Congress is a rubber stamp for the forces that simply are bringing laws in under the World Trade Organizations and CAFTA and NAFTA and WTO and telling our Congress what to do. So in Great Britain, why everything is dictated, or so much of what goes on is dictated in Brussels by nameless bureaucrats. And what they are doing, of course, is using the structure of the parliament to justify the regionalization, taking away local control of police and local control of fire departments and local control of everything. And is that what's happening, Mr. Spalton?
That's absolutely right. Another service which is being regionalized is the ambulance service. We do, of course, have a national health service here, which is run by the government, and the ambulance service is being organized on a regional basis as well. So it's a very comprehensive thing, all happening a little bit at a time. And when you look at the structure of the parties in Parliament, we know that within the main parties there are quite a number of members of Parliament who oppose this this gradual taking away of our ability to rule ourselves, but the leaderships of all the main parties are all rock solid behind it. And one of the reasons that I decided, having stood for Parliament in our election in May with a great lack of success, I decided that the way to forward was to try to get at the sound people within the parties and to wake them up to what is happening.
Hold that thought there for just a moment, please. Well, Mr. Spalton said that after standing for Parliament and with a great lack of success, he's working now to try to get to the people within the parties and try to get them to understand what this is all about. This is about the end of Great Britain as we know it. This is about the end of Europe as we know it. This is about the end the United States as we know it. And the average person finds that almost impossible to believe. This couldn't really be going on, but it really is going on, isn't it, Mr. Spalton?
It is indeed. One researcher into this, a Dr. Richard North, has said that this is a slow motion coup d'etat. It's a seizure of government bit by bit that's been going on progressively over 30 years. The Prime Minister who took us into the European Union was Edward Heath, and he lied absolutely to people as to what it was about. He said he wouldn't join without the full-hearted consent of the British people, and that full-hearted consent was a majority of 8 in a parliament of about 630 members. He subsequently admitted that he lied, and that his aim all along had been a United States of Europe. Funnily enough, just this evening I've received some information. I knew that there were reports about him in a magazine called the International Currency Review, stating that he had been an agent of the German Abwehr. And if anybody's interested in looking up at these reports, they're on a website. May I give you the address?
You certainly may. Is that Christopher's story?
Yes.
I'll go right ahead.
Yes, you can find it on www.worldreports.org. And I'm not saying that I'm totally convinced, because there's a little lack of evidence there, but it would make sense, because I can't understand why else the man should have wanted to do it.
Well, of course, there are so many unanswered questions out there, and I think unless we begin looking behind the scenes for the common denominator behind this whole movement, we're going to get lost in the, in all of the counter movements and movements. Now, one of the things we talked about off the air was this idea that, of course, Great Britain had played a very important part in supporting the wicked Al-Qaeda movement in the Balkans. Would you like to pick up and develop that story? Because it is so far from the comprehension of the average Britisher, or from the average American for that matter, that England and certainly with the help of the CIA, because England and the CIA, your MI6 and MI5 work very, very closely with the CIA, but they would ever help the wicked Al-Qaeda. Would you develop that idea?
Yes, certainly. When Yugoslavia started to break up, I noticed that the press reports were becoming more and more one-sided. Now, there were terrible things done by the forces on all sides. But what happened was that the West, that is you and we, weighed in support of regimes in Croatia, which was a fascist regime, and in Bosnia, in favor of the Muslim government.
Which was Al-Qaeda-backed, of course.
It was Al-Qaeda-backed, and the leader of the government there had written a book setting out his plans, and he said that as soon as they were strong enough, the Muslims must make their own institutions and destroy all others. And his government gave a passport to Bin Laden in the early 90s, and our man in Bosnia, who's been really the sort of viceroy there, with power of hire and fire over every official, a man called Lord Ashdown, is just coming to the end of his term. And my information is that Al-Qaeda and other extreme Islamic groups are well entrenched there, and one of their aims is to have trained agents who are of European appearance, so they'll look just like you and me, and be less detectable than these Pakistani men who blew up the trains in London just in the summertime here.
Well, there was this Belgian girl, raised in Belgium, a typical Belgian girl, converted to Islam, and I've forgotten where she did, when she went off someplace and blew herself up.
That was in Iraq, yes, I read that, yes.
Right, and so we have to understand that this is a disease of the mind, this desire to kill and kill others, and it is being fomented in many instances, financed with your tax money. Certainly in Kosovo, the same thing happened, where the United States, and I assume Great Britain as well, backed the Kosovo Liberation Organization, which was an Al-Qaeda-backed organization. Why would you do something that stupid unintentionally?
Also one of the prime criminal organizations in Europe, with drug trafficking and prostitution.
Right. So nothing as it really appears to be. You're not going to read about this in your local newspaper. You're not going to hear about it on 60 Minutes or 2020 or the major mainline networks here, because you're supposed to believe Al-Qaeda is the enemy, Osama bin Laden is the arch enemy. But people have forgotten, of course, that we financed his movement all during the 1980s, and there's some people feeling that it may still be financed today. After all, who's financing the insurgents in Iraq today? Why, the PLO that we finance, and the Saudis who we back in Pakistan, who we certainly are financing. So you have to ask yourself, why are we funding the people who are funding the insurgents who are killing our men? Doesn't really make sense. But then there are a lot of things that don't make sense today. Well, as far as Great Britain is concerned, Mr. Spalton, is there a growing awareness, and what sort of allies do you have in your battle to try to awaken the people of Great Britain?
Well, we seem to have a fairly large section of public opinion behind us, but the trouble is it's not yet fully organized, although I think it's going to become more clear, because Tony Blair has just given away a lot of our money to the European Union. Mrs. Thatcher organized a rebate on the money that we paid in, because the system was working out unfairly. It still is. But Tony Blair's agreed to give some of that up for absolutely nothing at all, just so that he could get agreement on the budget for the next 6 years or so. And it means that we will go on paying money for French farmers to produce sugar that nobody wants and all that sort of thing. And we'll also be contributing to building the underground system in Warsaw and the sewer system in Budapest, but instead of giving them the money directly, it goes through the European Union, so they feel that makes the politicians there feel some sort of loyalty to the hand that feeds them.
And of course, this is the oldest technique of all tyrants, is that you give people things and they very well will go along with you, as long as you're getting something for nothing. So you take it from one group, you give it to the other, but eventually everyone gets up being impoverished. There's some people who feel that Europe is moving towards a great communist state. Is there any truth to that?
Well, I think it wouldn't be right quite to call it communist. The Germans have an expression, the social market.
Social market.
Which it is a sort of limited and highly regulated capitalism. It's actually got more in common with fascism than communism.
All right, fine.
In a theoretical way. But it has very, very high welfare provision and... consequently, they have very high unemployment because nobody will take on people when it's very, very difficult to get rid of them if the trade drops.
Well, now, of course, what's the attitude as far as the people of Europe? Are they going along with this idea of a uniting Europe, or is there a lot of opposition?
Well, we had a stunning result in France when they had a referendum on the proposed EU constitution. And the French rejected it, and then immediately after that, the Dutch rejected it even more, with an even bigger majority. And that, I think, was unexpected, but it hasn't stopped them actually bringing in all the practical things in the Constitution, such as they're moving towards a European army, they're moving towards a common system of procurement for defense materials and all sorts of things like that, which really don't have much legal basis outside the Constitution, are going ahead as if it had been passed.
So they mean the leaders really don't care how the people feel. As long as the leaders want something, they're going to do it.
Exactly. That seems to be so. And it was rather interesting. One of the leading advocates of the European Union in Britain is a man called Kenneth Clark, who was conservative. And when he was questioned about this constitution business, he said, it would be a tragedy if the European Union would break up, it would destroy political careers. It makes you really feel very sorry for them, doesn't it?
Well, you know, one of the things I was just reading today is that England is going to lead the rest of the world as far as monitoring of traffic, that they're going to be setting up, you know, video cameras simply on every corner and every roadway so they can track traffic there totally, of course, in the name of thwarting that wicked Osama bin Laden. Have you heard about that?
Yes. We already have got a great number, I think more road cameras than anywhere else in the world, and used for raising fines and that sort of thing, on for speeding and so on. But there is intended to be eventually a satellite control system which is an EU project. It's called the Galileo system, which will enable them to track every car. Initially, it was decided that they would start it with goods vehicles, with trucks, but it will be for every car if it goes through in the way that they're proposing, and it'll be called road pricing, so that if you use roads that aren't very busy, you'll pay less than somebody who uses the busy city roads and so on.
I thought the satellites were so we could keep track of those wicked communists. Maybe,
yeah, well,
maybe that was never the real purpose.
Well, they're also forcing on us identity cards, and these are going to carry information about us under, I think it's over 50 different headings. We don't know what it's going to be.
I'm sure Osama bin Laden is terrified of this prospect that they're going to issue identity cards to all the people in Great Britain that they can be checked. Right. We're going to be back in just a moment with Mr. Spalding, but remember, they're going to be doing it here very, very soon. Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set,
Vietnam, the untold story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, the untold story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest today is Mr. Edward Spalton. And, of course, how would people get in touch with you? I know you've got a website and you've got a lot of information up there.
Yes. Well, I would recommend the website which I work with. For international news, it is freenations.freeuk.com.
Free Nations.
Yeah.
Dot UK dot is that
freeuk.com?
I'm sorry. One more time.
It's freenations.freeuk.com.
Okay.
And that will give information from countries all over Europe. I do some of the translations for the site.
All right, fine. So basically what you're trying to do is get the people there going to the Internet, which is really the most efficient means you have of getting information out now. Is the computer coming online there in Great Britain, as it is here, as a major source of information?
Certainly it was reckoned that it was particularly the blogs were very, very effective during the referendum campaigns in France and Holland, where the the great weight of money and publicity was all for the yes side, but the no side triumphed.
Well, I think it's so important that people get on the internet and get the information. I go there first thing every morning to get information on what's going on throughout the world. Even though I read 6 newspapers, why there's so much information on the internet you will never get elsewhere, unless you're, of course, reading the newspapers in Asia, in India, certainly in Europe, Reuters, things of that sort. Well, you know, you think there's a great general awakening. Certainly there's a tremendous loyalty towards Great Britain and your traditions among your people. It's mainly a matter of letting them understand there really are people up there in government who lie. I think it's so difficult to believe that a leader like Edward Heath would frankly lie to the people, just as most Americans would find it difficult to believe that any of our presidents would lie. And yet they all have, every single one of them.
Yes, well, I can remember when Heath came out with this, and I was a lot younger and a lot more, a lot less wise, I think, then, and I believed him when he lied to us and thought, well, nothing to be bothered about here. He said so.
I see, but he eventually actually came out. How did
he came out and publicly years later in the late 80s and admitted. That he'd been working for a United States of Europe all along.
Well, I think that we have many people here in the United States. For instance, we had Walter Cronkite. Oh, he was the on CBS, he was the man you could really depend on. And, of course, he was always a United World Federalist and slanted all of the news along that same line. Exactly as everybody who is in the major news in the United States, none of them will tell the American people what is really going on. And how all these talks about trade and free trade and increased jobs is simply a lie, a cover for this move towards the New World Order. Now, actually, right now, Great Britain is doing fairly well economically, aren't they? Have you lost many jobs or factories to China or to India?
Certainly, our textile industry has been, apart from specialist producers, has been greatly diminished. Nearly everything that you buy seems to be made in China or as you say, India or one of the Far Eastern countries. Our manufacturing base has been greatly reduced. Some of it has occurred with unfair competition from other countries within the European Union, which are receiving subsidies either from their own government or from the Union itself, that is some of our money, which are not available to British firms here. So it is very worrying, because we have become a service economy and manufacturing has been shrinking very badly, and I think it'll be necessary to alter that in some way, which we can only do as an independent country.
But of course, they're not going to allow you to do that. Right now, I think you're living on your past laurels, past wealth, but that cannot last indefinitely, especially when it's all built upon a fiat money system, a fiat money system with really nothing behind it. It is only those that really have a solid economic system that are going to be able to survive the very real dangers, which I believe are coming here in the very near future, because I feel that we're going to be moving towards World War III. I think we're on the verge of it right now. And I think the average person of both Great Britain and in Europe and America has no idea what lies ahead. We're going to be back here in just a few minutes with Mr. Edward Spalton, and we will welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I would appreciate calls dealing with the European Union, this idea of world government, but the major thing is a European Union and, of course, what's happening in Great Britain.
Set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. Or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Mr. Edward Spalton, and of course, he's talking to him about the tragedy of what's happening to Great Britain. People must understand that the movement is worldwide. This idea of regionalization of police, increasingly, there's a move towards regionalization of police here, taking away local control over everything. Our police are being federalized, they're being militarized, just as our military are being trained to carry out police functions as we move from freedom towards a surveillance society where everyone will have to have their papers, where, of course, everything will be watched by satellite and by video cameras, and, of course, all telephone calls and all emails and faxes will be systematically monitored by Big Brother to, of course, thwart the effects of and the danger of Osama bin Laden, who's living over there in the cave. Well, right now we've got Herman calling. If you would like to call in, you have any questions or comments for Mr. Spalton, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hello, Herman. How are you doing?
Very good. The native populations of all of the European states are declining rapidly, and it's being replaced by immigrants, many from Muslim countries. Do you feel that there is any way to reverse this, or to get this into the attention of the British or the French or the German peoples?
In fact, that's happening in Great Britain, isn't it, Mr. Spalton?
Absolutely. We have large areas of cities now which are effectively foreign territory.
Have they imposed in some of those areas Sharia law, or at least as much
as
they can?
Our Inland Revenue Service is considering at the moment making special arrangements for second, third, and fourth wives. So it has made some made some strides forward. But you see, such a lot of the people cannot come here, and then they marry people from back home who don't speak the language, and this is, seems to be happening in every generation, so we're never going to get assimilation. A German colleague of mine who edits a newspaper, a socialist newspaper incidentally, has said that he feels that this is being, immigration is being done deliberately on a large scale because it is easier to rule, to divide and rule, whereas a cohesive population which is of one national community can enforce effective democracy, but where you've got lots of different cultural groups who don't know each other or trust each other or even speak the same language, you can play one off against the other, and it makes it a lot easier for the people in authority.
And that's exactly what they're doing here in the United States. That's why they're encouraging illegal immigrants to come to this country and encouraging a multicultural society. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people or the people of Great Britain to know what they're doing. Anything else, Herman?
Well, are you concerned that this could possibly lead at a future time to racial friction or race war? Because if there is high unemployment or other problems in a country, that the immigrants might be blamed for the problems?
I think that can happen to a certain extent. You see, the problem we've got in Britain is that we've had a fairly successful economy, more or less an Atlantic economy rather than a European economy, but it's been combined with a European size of welfare state, which is very attractive to people who can come here. There are a lot of unpleasant places in the world, and if they can arrive here, they've only got to say, I'm claiming political asylum, and they're here for quite a long time, and we're housing them and feeding them and so on. And at the time when, if their case comes up and they are refused, they just disappear into the general population, and we know that there are, the government says that there are at least 600,000 illegals here. My information would suggest it's far greater than, and that's in a country with a population of around 60 million.
Okay, Herman, anything else you'd like to ask?
No, that's it.
Thank you. Thank you so very much for calling. Again, I number 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. A caller has called in. I didn't want to go on the air, but asked the question, where does Russia fit into all of this? Is there any communist involvement in what's happening to Great Britain or this idea of a European Union?
Well, I can't see very much myself. I know that Christopher Story has a different idea on this. My own feeling was that we needed to be more friendly, if we could, with Russia, to help contain the expansion of what I can only call German Europe in terms of economic domination, which is going on in Poland, Czechoslovakia, and places like that. For instance, in the Czech Republic, over 80% of the press is now German-owned.
Well, my answer to that would be, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to read that, and certainly we go into a great deal of the background of the original financing of communism, which I think is still going on today. So, anyway, the book is available through Radio Liberty, The Brotherhood of Darkness. Anyway, of course, we have real problems. Certainly, we've seen the racial unrest that's going on in France, and I think right now, I think there's just a temporary respite, but I anticipate that probably next year, why we'll see the burning and the state of lawlessness return, and of course, in response to that, why we see the French government moving very, very rapidly towards a totally authoritarian society with everybody with ID cards and everybody being monitored and the curfews in place. And what do you see as far as this, the end result of the unrest that is occurring in certain places in Europe?
Well, they seem to have had it worse in France. Here, you know, people get British are a very tolerant sort of people, and we get on with people from all sorts of different parts of the world very well. But I don't think that our rulers have certainly not understood the problem with militant Islam. I wouldn't call it extremist Islam, because it seems to me to be in the mainstream of the Islamic scriptural tradition. and they just don't know what they've got. I've heard ministers of the government saying Islam is a religion of peace. I don't know what history books the chap read, but very different from the ones that I did.
All right, fine. Well, I think that we have a very, very real problem, and I think that, unfortunately, the world is becoming increasingly polarized. And if you were to, for instance, have free elections in Egypt today, a radical Islam would take over Egypt. If you had free elections in Turkey, why the radical Islam would take over there. In fact, they control the parliament. It's simply because we're backing a military dictatorship. That the radical Islam has not taken over Turkey. And what's really so disturbing is that the people in Europe, or at least certain people in Europe, want to bring Muslim Turkey into the heart of NATO and the heart of the European Union. What's going to happen with that?
Well, you've got a very large rural population in Turkey, which is very traditionally Islamic, and you've got a small westernized middle class, and of course with the difference in prosperity between Turkey and the rest of Europe, if they come into the European Union, you eventually accept that they have a right to go and settle anywhere, and people will come in much greater numbers than they have already. Germany, of course, has got a large Turkish population now as a result of guest workers over the years who've stayed there, I can only see that increasing. A friend of mine who's an Orthodox Christian said, you know, in some ways Islam and the world movement for world government have got a lot in common, because they neither of them believe in individual nations. They only believe in a worldwide community. And that is what Islam, of course, believes in, the Ummah.
Well, of course, the only question is who's going to rule the worldwide community. Certainly our leaders believe they're going to rule it, and the radical Islamists believe they're going to rule it.
Indeed.
At least this is ostensibly what we're told. Well, anyway, there are lots of uncertainties growing in the world today. How are you going to be able to turn this thing around in Great Britain, or will you be able to? Will you be able to preserve England, or will the British tradition soon become simply a remembrance of things past?
I don't think that that's going to happen, because this European Union is so corrupt. It has so many strains and contradictions within it. But it is bound, in my view, to collapse of its own contradictions eventually. It's just that when it does, we certainly don't want it to break apart in a way which would destabilize the whole of Europe, because that would not be in our interest at all.
How do the people of Great Britain feel about British involvement with Iraq? Would they like to get their soldiers out of there? Do you think that
yes.
They want to just keep their soldiers there as long as the Americans stay, which is going to be forever?
I think that popular opinion would get them back tomorrow. If you sort of took a vote on it, you have to understand that we were taken into this war on a lie by our own government, who served up very doubtful information as if it was the truth concerning weapons of mass destruction, and people don't like being lied to. Others, like myself, think, well, we're in there now, we've started it, so it's along with our allies, it's something that we've got to bring to some sort of a finish.
But, of course, I don't see any end in sight. I mean, certainly Iraq is moving towards a civil war. There are more terrorist attacks, almost four times more terrorist attacks today than there were a year ago.
Yes.
And, you know, the president has said, you know, despite the fact we've had the election, this does not mean that we're going to be able to bring our troops home.
No. Well, an acquaintance of mine was one of the people who went to Iraq at the beginning as a human shield. He was rather an unusual man to do this, a country gentleman. He'd been High Sheriff of Derbyshire. He was a very Christian man, and he went along to. He also speaks Arabic, and so that there is across all sorts of different beliefs. There was wide opposition to this war. We couldn't really see what it was for.
Well, of course, well, I'll have to send you my newsletter, what I'm working on now, which lays out very well what it's for, but not for the reasons that the American people have been told, because had the American people been told what this was really all about, they never would have gone along with it. But there seems to be an elite that have their own agenda, and, of course, they lie to the American people and get them to go off to fight their wars, whether it be the Spanish-American War, the First World War, the Second World War, or Vietnam or Korea or the First Gulf War, now the Second Gulf War, but they never tell the people the truth. And, of course, certainly the English people were lured into World War One with the promise this was going to, bring the end to tyranny throughout the world. In fact, here in America, they had that wonderful slogan, the war to end all wars.
Yes.
And how many people died in that period, 1914-18, in the war to end all wars? What a noble goal.
Yes, and that actually brings us back to the Balkans, because the war started there. And the country which started the war was called Austria-Hungary, and it was very much like the European Union today. It was made up of numerous people of different races. The bureaucrats who run it were, as it were, above the different racial categories, although they spoke German. And it was these boneheaded bureaucrats who decided that they were going to have a war. And the foreign minister, a man called Berchtold, spent the night before they sent the ultimatum to Serbia, another name that cropped up again, putting extra impossible demands in the ultimatum, because they feared that the Serbs might accept it. And when it came to the discussions with Serbia over Yugoslavia recently, Madeleine Albright did just the same thing by slipping a military protocol into the negotiations at the last minute, which no country could have accepted.
Oh, right, exactly. What George Bush had done as far as his demands on the Afghans before we attacked. I mean, they were willing to make all sorts of concessions, but of course he had no intention of having a peaceful solution to the problem. Because we had to be in Afghanistan before we could go into Iraq, before we could go into Iran and Syria. And I really fear that anybody who thinks that the war is going to come to a quick end in the Middle East is sadly, sadly mistaken. They don't understand history. They certainly don't understand any of the wars of the past. Well, we've got about 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program here. What is the message you would like to leave with our leaders here in the United States?
Well, I would beg them to return to the principles of the founding fathers of the Constitution, to look to American interests in an enlightened way with regard to the rest of the world, to build liberty at home and trust and cooperation abroad. We know that there is plenty of evil in the world, but occasionally you may find that it has to be contained rather than destroyed until eventually, in the fullness of time, people come to a more kindly and humane system of government in their own individual countries.
Well, of course, I believe as America goes, so goes the world. America certainly is the most powerful nation in the world. And if America simply, I believe, would stop trying to force other nations into doing what we want, we wouldn't be having the problems we are. So I do what I do in an effort to reach the American people. I know that you do what you do in an effort to reach the British people. I perhaps have a little easier time of it because I can talk 5 hours a day on the telephone. It must be a little frustrating for you, although you do write a fair number of very entertaining articles.
Yes. And I think that we have to try and to build on this with people of goodwill across the range of political beliefs, that people who are, basically people who are who believe in democracy. I nearly said Democrats, but I realized that would have a different meaning to your listeners. But people who believe in democracy and in limited government, whatever form, can combine together to make sure to hold their representatives to account and make them do the job for which they are pretty well paid.
Well, many of us think that our elected representatives are very well paid, not only the salary they get, but all the benefits they get, and then, of course, the rewards that they get. If they've done a good job when they leave office and they become lobbyists, or they go to work on many boards of many corporations, like Dick Cheney, after he left the government, many years ago, he became the CEO of Halliburton, and then, of course, he comes back to government, but he gets a deferred salary, he may still be getting that massive deferred salary. I don't quite understand that, why there would be a bribe, but maybe I'm just suspicious. We're out of time. God bless you. Thanks so much. Very much.
Good night, Dr. Stan. All the best.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Our four-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is all part of this move towards the world government. If you haven't read Tal Brooks' book, One World, let me recommend it to you. It's an excellent book going into the background of this worldwide plan to take away the freedom of all people, and behind it are the powerful spiritual forces, truly demonic forces, that are real. People look at what's going on, none of it makes sense. I mean, where did this radical Islamic movement come from? It did not exist before 1979. I mean, there were a very, very small group of Muslims who had embraced this radical form of Islam, but you're probably talking a few tens of thousands. But believe me, of course, it's sweeping the Islamic world today, going back, almost 1,000 years to where it was when the time of the Prophet. How did it come about? Well, your tax dollars at work, and you really would want to get some of the material that we've written on this subject. You'll find it in the little pamphlets we wrote. Foreknowledge 111, Part 1, part two and part three. All of the three of them together for only $9.95. You need to get it. You need to read it. And then, of course, you need to get some of our four-tape sets. We actually have a great four-tape set called 911 Update. 911 Update. Going into the background of the fact that they knew there was going to be an attack on the World Trade Center, and they did nothing about it. How do we know there was going to be? Well, Operation Bojinka, we actually pulled that down on the day of the attack, and it had been published two or three months beforehand on the web. I think it was United Airlines flight attendants' website, talking about the plan to hijack planes and crash them into the World Trade Center, written by a reporter from the Washington Post, who has access to all sorts of special information. But you know the most amazing thing? When I've talked to that reporter, he doesn't remember writing it. But if you'd like to get that, we'd be glad to send it to you. The article on Operation Bojinka, which was published at least 3 months before 911, and of course it was mentioned by Kristen Breitweiser when she testified before the Joint Select Intelligence Committee. And it's in her testimony, but totally blacked out from the final report. Why do you think that was? And then I know Peter Lance testified before the 911 Commission and told him all about this and how he'd talked to the people over in the Philippines who knew all about Operation Bojinka and had told the FBI. And you know, they didn't mention that in the 911 Commission report. And his testimony was sealed for 30 years. It's now top secret. If there's nothing to conceal, why are they concealing it? Because everything is a lie. Everything is illusion and delusion. Go to our website at www.radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs there 5 hours a day on the Internet. You can listen to our archive programs. Very soon, you'll know how to get on to Telstar 5, where you can listen 9 hours a day to my programs and 9 hours a day to Joyce Riley's programs and Chuck Chrismeyer and certainly to Pastor Butch Palm. And you need to help us get other people on to Telstar 5. All sorts of interesting things there. Armed Forces, also their various programs, but certainly Christian television. But also, of course, you can get Christian radio programming 24 hours a day. And you need to help us finance this endeavor. But we need to have means of reaching people. We're getting growing numbers of means. Our MP3 files of all of our programs will be available starting next week at our website. We want you to get the information. We hope that you'll help us as we reach out across America with the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And then, of course, we ask you to give serious consideration of joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And you do that by calling 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like a free copy of one of our newsletters. Our latest newsletter, Deja Vu in Iraq. It goes into Congressman Murtha's newsletter and then, of course, the efforts made to destroy him for suggesting we ought to get out of Iraq. But we're not going to, because Iraq is playing a very useful purpose. It's a distraction from what's really going on at home as our boys fight for freedom overseas. We lose our freedom here in the United States. So please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.